called Tom Murphy from his treadmill, where he was dutifully working to elevate his heart rate. The dealmaker in Eisner was determined to squeeze a few concessions out of Murphy. He tried lowering the stock component. Murphy said no. He tried chiseling $2 off the price, noting that Disney stock had hit $57 the day before, $2 more than when they'd talked. "Michael," Murphy said, "I told you yesterday the deal that we were willing to make. That's the deal. The only question now is whether you want to make it or not." Stumped, Eisner said he'd call back. When he got into the office, Eisner called Bob Iger. "I want to talk about your staying on," Eisner said. Iger said he wasn't sure he was at liberty to negotiate before a deal was reached, considering he was president and chief operating officer as well as on the board. Negotiating for a high-level position in the new company might pose a conflict of interest. "Ethically, I'm not sure what my position should be." Nor was Iger sure that he wanted to work in the new company. Given his Cap City's stock and options, the proposed deal would make him rich. He didn't need the job. Then Eisner took the opportunity to excoriate Iger for negotiating a deal with DreamWorks, which Iger didn't appreciate. He said he'd have to call him back. Just before noon on the West Coast, Eisner called Tom Murphy. "Tom, I need to get something." Murphy was firm. "Michael, I've told you what we're prepared to do." Eisner took a deep breath. "Okay. You've got a deal." So long opposed to acquisitions, Eisner had just agreed to one which, at nearly $20 billion, was the second biggest in history. When Eisner broke the news to his mother over dinner, he commented, "Pretty exciting, isn't it?"
"Yes," his mother said. "I can't believe Amy's getting married."
Amy was Eisner's niece, who had just announced her engagement. As the lawyers wrapped up the details, Eisner began calling board members, starting with Gold, to report that he had a handshake deal with Murphy. Gold was supportive, as was Roy, though Roy took more persuading, worried that acquiring a network would stretch the Disney brand too thin. Eisner also called Ovitz, telling him that he now had a network he could offer him. "This company is going to be too big for me to run," he said. Eisner reminded him that their long and close friendship had begun while Eisner was at ABC. Despite making Iger his heir apparent, Tom Murphy told Eisner at a private lunch in the Cap City's executive dining room that one of the reasons he was selling the company was that Iger wasn't ready to succeed him as chief executive. He was still too young and unseasoned, a comment Eisner repeated to Disney board members and Ovitz. Still, Murphy lavished praise on Iger and urged Eisner to keep him at the network, stressing that Iger was on top of all Cap City's businesses. Eisner called Iger again now that a deal had been reached. This time, Iger indicated a willingness to stay on, though he realized he was no longer in line to be CEO of Cap City's. "I'm only 44 years old," he pointed out, "and this is a chance to be part of a historic merger." He was also determined to protect his colleagues at Cap Cities. He'd been at ABC 10 years earlier when Cap Cities had acquired the network, and he knew how it felt to be among the conquered after a merger. That evening, Iger and Willow Bay were having dinner with the Catholic priest who was going to marry them that October.